Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Manya. Happy Friday.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you too.
Are you well?
And to our listeners.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much. Are you well, though?
I'm well. I'm good. I hope you are too.
I am good. Thank you so much for asking. Now, we're closing our conversation today that we've been having the week long. You know, it is profound to notice how God chooses to close out the entire Old Testament scriptures. The final project, Malachi, leaves humanity with a stark, sobering mind. He states that a day is coming when God will send a spirit of reconciliation, yeah? And if the hearts of the fathers do not turn to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, the entire land will be struck with a total curse. Now, the fifth commandment is not just an ancient piece of nostalgia. No, it's not. It is our active, proactive defense against that cultural curse. Now, I want to wrap up our study today with the pastor by discussing how to build an enduring legacy of honor that will sustain our families and our nations for generations to come. Now, pastor, the very last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, warns of a devastating cultural curse if generations fail to reconcile. Why do you believe God chose to end an entire era of scripture focusing on the critical need for fathers and children to tend to one another?
Thank you so much, Brother Zama. And maybe I just want to add this snippet before I explain any further. When you look at the entire book of Malachi, it's God's messenger sending a message of returning to the covenant, the broken covenant. And it's so interesting because when people break the covenant, God comes with a message of appeal, an opportunity to say this can be worked on, this can be worked out. So it's like God just positions himself in a space of our brokenness, and he makes himself available as not a mender, but a restorer. Okay, a restorer, right? Like everything gets restored, everything gets renewed. So when we hear Malachi ending with these words, it ignites hope, because number one, it's possible that broken relationships can be mended. It's very possible that certain curses that are on people because of failure to adhere to this commandment can be worked on, can be reinstituted. So the words, the closing words of the Old Testament become so significant, as seen in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, where the Bible says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So we see further that God did not end this passage of scripture with a political or military reform or a religious ritual, but he emphasized restoring relationships within the family. This is because it's God's initiative. Family is always God's initiative. And in this discussion we've been having, we've emphasized the fact that family is initiated by God, and because of that, God has had this interest to see that severed relationships in families find opportunities of being renewed. Okay, of being renewed. So it becomes critical for us, even in our times, to pay particular attention that renewal of broken homes and reconciliation really takes place from the genuine point of it. And we are also encouraged in this passage of scripture, of course, because honoring of your parents as a commandment from God points us to a perfect picture, of one's responsibility here on earth, Brother Zama. And the work of restoration and reform begins at home. And this is why now we hear the messenger in Malachi says, broken relationships from homes can be mended from homes. And this is in agreement also, Father, that restoring and reformation begins from home. There is fullness of hope just in the home to have relationships rebuilt. Yes, Brother Sam.
Now, for adult children whose parents are entering advanced old age, you know, battling dementia or losing physical capability, what does it practically look like to live out this commandment on a daily basis?
Firstly, we need to understand that the change, old age, as it comes with a blessing, it comes with a very huge responsibility, and times it comes with it's a burden. Now, I want to be very careful. I want to be very careful here when you say old age is burden, lest me people misunderstand. It's a blessing, but it comes with a lot of responsibilities. Some elderly persons begin to have these conditions, normal conditions, maybe at a particular age, like dementia. Others lose physical capabilities of walking and doing things on their own. So they need that collective care. Okay, they need that collective care. And sometimes it can be very competitive, especially with the busyness of our schedules. Okay, but I think something practical cannot be denied, in spite of how busy one can be and how challenging maybe management of certain things can be. And this is where honoring then makes sense as a responsibility. It's not really like a duty. It comes in even when you feel like it's inconveniencing. And I want to emphasize this, Brother Zama, that when we talk of honoring from the perspective of this commandment, it speaks of you having to create convenient time to be available or provide the necessary care your parents in such a state can receive in spite of you being busy. It's like you cannot say to God that, God, I'm too busy to worship you. Yeah, I'm too busy to worship you, because there will never be a time where you cannot be busy.
But
when you realize that God has also put time for you to worship him in your busy schedule, then you understand that it is practically impossible for this commandment to receive its fair share in your life in spite of being busy. And God can supply the wisdom. Let's not deny God from working in our lives. It can be challenging, but this does not mean that it's impractical. God can still give us the wisdom. It is him who said, honor your father. When you do honor them by providing a comfortable space where they can be, by being consistently present to support them in such a moment as of old age, by caring them with practical healthcare services that can support them in their state, the Lord will definitely do something that will compensate clearly with your schedule. So if you are available to do them the great honor, the Lord will definitely add that special blessing that accompanies this commandment, Brother Zama.
Now, many people come from deeply dysfunctional family lines. How can a person intentionally break toxic generational cycles of trauma or abuse while still maintaining a heart of biblical honor toward their parents?
Well, like, you know, such a question, Brother Zama, is really is really something that is heartbreaking to even say we talk about this. Sometimes you may feel like it would make sense if someone outside my home did this, broke my heart, caused this trauma. But unfortunately, even people that you looked up to as your caregivers, your protectors, sometimes can be the most, can be the biggest source of pain in your life. But can we continue to live like that for the rest of our lives? Is there healing for us? The answer is yes. The Bible never commands people to enable sin or remain in abusive situations, no. So then in this aspect of honor and reconciliation, in this question, then I can say honor and reconciliation are related but not necessarily identical. And I want us to appreciate this. Honor continues even when reconciliation does not take place. Now, reconciliation is reconciliation does not necessarily mean forgiveness. Or maybe let me put it very much clearer here. Forgiveness does not entail reconciliation. You can forgive someone, but you may not really reinstitute the relationship as it was before the problem that you had.
Yeah.
And this comes with a caution because there are certain relationships that are severed because of the wrong, the damaging effect that has resulted from it. But you can still experience the forgiveness of that person without necessarily bringing them close to you, as emphasized in the need for reconciliation. Where it is not safe, you may desire not to go the reconciling way, but the forgiveness will be sufficient. You'll be at peace with them, but you may not necessarily be in their space as much as you would not want them to be in their space. It sounds a little bit harsh, but these are realities people are going through, and there is a safety cap really that has to be put in the process of one's healing. We are also saying one should also understand that what has happened to them has potential to make them subjective to vices that that may damage them. When a person has been raped, others want to compensate it by also indulging in sexual behaviors and healthy behaviors just to do away with what they had experienced, which necessarily doesn't happen. They don't do away with that. But we want to state to somebody listening to say, as you may be in such a space, aim not to continue indulging in unhealthy cycles of life, but switch to understand that there is healing available for you. If it is the challenge is coming from your parent, begin by forgiving them. They might not even seek for forgiveness, but you don't need to do an eye for an eye in this aspect. What you need then to do is bridge within your heart with heaven and forgive them and experience the power that God has for you to build a healthy life outside the dysfunctional experience that you had in your home. I don't know what you might have been going through and what impact it has left on your life, but I can still further encourage you listening to us that you can choose forgiveness without necessarily restoring unsafe relationships. You can still speak respectfully without approving the evil that was done to you. So if it is possible within your power, live at peace with all men.
Yeah.
Live at peace with all men. Yes, Brother Zan.
Beautiful stuff. If it is possible, live at peace with all men. Thank you so much for that. Now, what role do institutions like schools, churches, youth groups, and mentors play in reinforcing the lessons of the fifth commandment?
The blessing really that we have with such institutions is that they offer a neutral space, where people can reach out for help when those closer to them are causing injury. And if well facilitated, these should be centers of refuge. Like in the Old Testament would have cities of refuge. When somebody has been injured or hurt, they would run into those cities of refuge for safety until they are reconstructed to face whatever they need to face. If it's just judgment or justice is done. And these schools, churches, youth groupings, mentorship programs that can be done in the community become a safe haven for those who have gone through abusive aspects of life. And one thing really that I would encourage for institutions of that nature is to understand our role of why we have been positioned in these communities. We are not trumpeters of people's problems. We are to be a place where people can confide and their confidence in us and information that they leave with us is left where they want it to be. Confidential information has been handed to us. Sometimes these spaces cannot really be the most comfortable because of certain individuals really who would want to take advantage of certain information and use it for something really that would damage the image and in life of that individual who has confidently brought their issue to such facilities. But we need to understand that these institutions like schools, churches, and other social or community groupings offer a space for resilience, for one to build their resilience, reinforce good mental health, teaching also models. You begin to find people who can model you with similar experiences, and they are telling you how they have developed, how they have overcome certain challenges. It creates a healthy group circle that enforces morals and salvages that most important space you have in your heart, which cannot be touched by your brokenness. Mm. And that the safe space that God has put in you to say, here is a point for you to be redeemed and still live life with a certain comfort. So a challenge really remains to institutions like the church, schools, to really own up the significance or the purpose of why they exist, because these become very essential centers really to reconstruct and mentor young people or even families to reconcile, bring them together and win moments of reconciliation. I've had experiences really, Brother Zama, where there's just this rift in a family. People don't talk to each other, but they come to the church and ask that we have a grievance here. How can you help us as a church?
Mm.
And seeing the hand of God through the reconciliation, today families, they are talking, they are on talking terms, they are on healthy terms, renewed relationships, and all that they had in the past is no more. It is gone. And this is the value and blessing really institutions like a church and other positive influencing institutions can have on the people in the community, Brother Zama.
Mm. Very interesting. Now, as we go towards a close, we often see an aggressive culture war pitting the youth against older generation. What is the overall benefit when generations decide to lock arms and collaborate rather than fight for cultural dominance?
The continuity of life is not absent of the older generation. Each generation that comes is successive on the previous one. And I believe this may be the mind that the psalmist in Psalm 145 verse 4 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another. Okay, Psalm 145 verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another. So there is this continuity that we begin to see that can be gotten from the previous, the existing to the next generation. And we get to see that the wisdom that sustains your, that has sustained the younger generation is not contained in the younger generation themselves, because they have a particular starting point, which is from the older generation. So when we have the older generation in existence, we understand that we have clear benefits that come from wisdom, experience, historical perspectives of things, stability, and the younger generation really can have the energy, creativity, innovation, and fresh interest to carry forward. And this is also depicted from the biblical point of view. Joel 2:28 talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon all flesh. It doesn't isolate the old and say, no, the old will be relevant because they are old. The Bible says the Spirit will be upon the old, who will offer the wisdom to the younger, energetic generation that has to go out and take the message of God, take the message of Malachi of reconciliation, take the message of building stability in the future to come. So when the two works together, wisdom then will guide the innovation that the young people will have. Innovation will revitalize the tradition that have strengthened the foundation. Okay, unity then will strengthen the church's witness, and families definitely will become healthier. So what is the focus here? The focus is very clear, Brother Zama. The devil always wants us to divide and create an unnecessary rift where people begin to see we are better than them. They may not know things the way you know them, but they are the reason why you know what you know now. Yes.
Lastly, Pastor, as we draw to a close, man, this has been a fantastic conversation. How can we distill all of these truths into one simple, actionable habit of honor that we can practice today going forward?
What I can say, Brother Zama, is make it your daily habit. Choose one practical expression of honor towards someone from another generation. It can be as simple as just, I know you are busy, but create a schedule where you can call your parents. Just checking up on them. Just to praise, to thank them for what they've done. And where possible, be intentional in creating a function that can speak, if you have children, that can speak to your children the value of where you are coming from. Sometimes in certain situations, where possible, talk about the challenges that you had and the healing that you experienced. Because sometimes the children will be thinking life is always perfect. Everything is always superb. There are no challenges. But when in a healthy manner, it is explained and they see how healing has taken place, they also begin now to add value to certain principles of life. They begin to hold on to certain principles of life of knowing that it is very possible to be broken and yet be renewed in this life. So pray, create intentional programs really to pray for the elderly and much more. Be kind with one another and making sure that you prefer others more than you do. And these are the ways really I can live and say there is always a purpose why God allows people to grow and reach the age where they've reached. It is not essentially for them to be suffering in this world, but it is to preserve the integrity of honoring those who God has invested himself in.
Yeah.
You may not like them, they may not be fitting according to society standard, but by virtue that they are created in the image of God and they've been given the years to live in this life, can we honor them according to God? Thank you so much.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. It's been a fantastic week. I must thank you so much for making time and preparing to speak to us literally since Monday up until today. Pastor Moan Manya joining us. Thank you so, so much. Blessings to you, Pastor, and a happy Sabbath ahead for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the listen to the listeners. A happy Sabbath to you all.
Happy Sabbath and goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.